Welcome to College Football Roundtable, your source for college football coverage, including major storylines,
playoffs,
can't miss game previews, and picks each week. Join your hosts, Dan, Rob, and Jordan at the roundtable for a show unlike anything else. As for Football presents the College Football Roundtable.
All right, week one is over. Many of the teams that needed help with FCS opponents didn't really need help. And a lot of it was about ball security. I think a lot of special teams and ball security have been the biggest problem of week one, but that's to be expected because it's week one. We'll see who can make those adjustments and tighten up and continue on their trend. What's up, Trash Talkers? Welcome back to the College Football Roundtable, or if you prefer, just call it Ring Knocker Radio. I'm your host, Rob, in Fayetteville, North Carolina. We got Dano Icabesa in Coastal Connecticut, and our guest and Trigger Joe are off doing other things. We had internet problems, and someone's on a super secret mission, probably has to do with changing baby diapers, but
truth.
How are we doing? And what'd you watch this weekend?
So much. We're going to talk about it later, but I watched like almost every snap of Rice at Sam Houston State waiting for the Owls to like put it together. Dude, what the hell was that? I also watched all three Service Academy games. Obviously went to the Army game, but I watched every bit of the Navy and Air Force game too. And the one thing, and we'll talk about this more too, but the one thing I've definitely learned this season, like on the off season and to start, is no one, and I mean no one, watches Air Force because it's all vibes and nobody actually wants to talk about it. So we're going to talk about it today.
For sure. Like 100% agree with you, but like I ended up watching, I had five games on all day basically on the multi-viewer. Multi-viewer is nice, man. I will say that. And it keeps me from having to lug an extra TV down, which would probably get me shot in the face. But, you know, being able to watch all the games, like I watched a lot of early stuff. I'm one of the things that's concerning this season, and I'll put it out there, but I think a lot of the moves to ESPN Plus are going to hurt a lot of people that are on different cable packages. So DirecTV no longer has local coverage of their respective college football games. So gross. So channel 11 in Raleigh, like if you don't have ESPN Plus or Sling TV, you're getting screwed. So like gross. You turn on the game and like you're watching like that final commercial, the commercial break, and then it flips to the screen and says, hey, we've lost our contract with Disney. And so you've got scan this QR code to fill out this fill out this questionnaire about it. But it was pretty interesting. Go ahead.
Arguably the best game of the entire weekend was North Texas at South Alabama. It was just a total shootout. Like North Texas, both offenses are totally unstoppable anyway, but you know, there was just no defense being played at all. And I don't know what the final score was, but they had to hit over 100 points total.
Yeah, they were trading.
And that was like the first three quarters of that game was totally electric, and it was on ESPN Plus. And for me, it was coming in like 320p. Like watching really old school TV.
Yeah, that's part of the problem too. Like if you're not like the mainline game on ESPN Plus, like you get like the janky, like, hey, we're gonna send the C team with the the pre HD camera to record the game. And I don't know. I think
that was a shame. That was the best game in that hour, that like 5 o'clock hour, whatever. That was by far the best game that was on.
Yeah. And then, and that's part of it. Like when these games are not competitive, like, why don't you flop it? Like put the one on ESPN and then drop the less competitive game to ESPN Plus. I mean, I'm sure it's just a couple of switches in the booth, but who knows, man? Like that was part of the problem, but we'll dive in a little bit deeper. We'll talk about it more, but right now we've got to pay some bills. So if you're PCSing to the Fort Liberty area, we have the realtor for you, Jocelyn Bradley. Jocelyn is a veteran who spent her career in Army logistics, and she discovered her passion for making a difference in people's lives. She's committed to helping her clients find the home of their dreams when they're in the market, and provides exceptional service when she's working for you. Jocelyn has an extended network of veteran realtors who can provide you support if you're moving somewhere else in the country. So if you are in the market for a home, Jocelyn should be your first call. She's decided to support Ask for Football this season, and she's the right person to get you into the home of your dreams. Hey, bottom line is, with the housing market being the way that it is, you need to find a realtor that you can trust, and we will talk about the other person later in the show that can get you a good deal on a home. But without further ado, let's go ahead and jump into the Surface Academy standings. Dan, I know you watched all three games. So yeah. Highlights.
So yeah, so I went to the Army game. We'll talk about that in detail tomorrow, obviously. But Army won 42-7. They ran like crazy. Maybe got some issues there in the running defense against running quarterbacks. I don't know. We'll definitely see this coming week. Air Force, they looked god awful against Merrimack at home. I mean, they looked awful. They're benefiting from a strong sports media bias right now, but they rushed for exactly 3 yards per carry. And believe me, it took every bit of four quarters to get from 2.6 to 3 yards per carry in that game. 6 of 14 passing for 71 yards. Every time he turned around, they were dropping back to pass and throwing it over the receiver's head. Merrimack put up 11 penalties for 88 yards. Like, legit, every single Air Force drive, you know, got extended by a face mask or something. Merrimack turned it over 3 times, twice deep in their own end. And they still, the Zoomies still did not put that game away until like midway through the fourth quarter. It was nuts. So if you're sitting there thinking, oh, Air Force is back, they did what they do. No. They played an awful team and they looked horrible. Navy looked solid against Bucknell after kind of a shaky first quarter, give or take. They won 49-21, but Bucknell led through the first quarter 7-6. The Mids found a groove in the second quarter and dropped 22 unanswered points. So it's not like the game was close. Like, don't get the wrong idea. I mean, they took control and put the hammer down. They finished with about 5 yards per carry, went 9 of 19 passing for 173 yards. They throw a lot in that Navy. Yeah. That new Navy offense, like, they threw a lot. It's a lot of short passing, so I don't think I've ever seen that much short passing from a Service Academy. The good news, if you're a Navy fan, is they're making much, much, much better use of their fullbacks now, and they've got 3 really good fullbacks. You know, Dabo Fofana definitely was not getting the ball enough last year, and of course, Teska, he's a great running back. So I don't remember the other kid's name, but those dudes are legit featured backs now for the Mids, which is an improvement. Service Academies for the FCS. Coast Guard takes on the University of New England September 7th at 1 p.m. The Merchant Marines take on Western Connecticut the same day, also at 1 p.m. Both games have live updates on their respective websites. I'm sure you must be able to stream those somehow here in the old year 2024, but you might have to go to the websites to figure that one out. So that's it.
All right. Thanks, Dan. Yeah, let's go around the American, man. Like, so we have teams opening conference play. It would be a disservice for us to focus, even though the social said like 88% wanted us to talk about Army FAU. We will tomorrow. You know, I mean, that's a big thing. We have a whole show lined up for that. So Navy takes on Temple and Philly. That's going to be a tough game to watch, man, because like if Temple doesn't put something on the table, I think Navy's going to run all over them. Yeah. And it's hard, but it's hard to gauge how well or how poorly they are performing because they played Oklahoma. You know, I mean, like, that's what do you do? You know, when you're playing a team that's, you know, new SEC team that is going to drop a whole bunch of points on you just for the simple fact that, one, they can, and two, they have to because they're in one of the more competitive conferences in college football. I think it's just going to be I think that game is what it is, and I think it depends on if they can get consistency in the passing game. Temple may be able to control the ball enough to beat Navy, but the way that Navy is
no,
but the
I, way I'm that just, I'm just going to yeah. tell you, no, I don't think so.
But the way that Navy is running, it would be interesting if the Temple QB even gets on the field because they're going to probably have some long sustained drive and just chew up the clock. Other things of interest, you've got UAB on the road at ULM. ULM is like quietly a tough team. You know, they do fairly well. Like, Army has had their struggles with them every other year. And UAB is a good team. We'll just see how well if they can rise to the top. And then, of course, you know, the biggest game, and that's why part of the reason why we have the, you know, if you look at the splash screen or the thumbnail for this, it's the freaking quarterback from USF, because we're going to talk about USF football today with the guy from Bulls 24/7. But I think that's probably the most interesting game that's non-conference aligned in the American Conference this week, and that's going to be USF at Bama. I mean, there's a lot of preseason hype on USF. They think that they're going to be – they're in the driver's seat. Once SMU left, everybody's like, USF is going to be, you know, the informally crowned kings of the American Athletic Conference. But they still got to play the games. But going in against Bama is going to be tough. Like, what are your thoughts on these games around the horn in the American this week?
Yeah, so we'll see how well Navy can sort of sustain offense against Temple. But my gut reaction is that they can probably do it pretty well. you know, they sort of shook it out and looked better. I'm not super bullish, pardon the expression, on USF at Bama. And I mean, last year they kept it close against Bama?
Yeah.
And you know, what did that prove ultimately?
Yeah, not much.
So, yeah, I don't know. There's some other interesting games too, but that UAB at ULM game, I think you would like to see the Blazers run away from ULM, like win by 20 something points if they're going to be legit. But I have not watched either team play this season. So I mean, that's an interesting game. I will probably have it on at some point.
Yeah. I think that's the game to watch outside of the Service Academy, you know, duo of American openers this week. You know, and again, it would be a disservice for us to talk about the Army FAU game. I will say this. The only note that I have is FAU's quarterback is a runner. And, you know, given the way that we ran into Boston College's QB last year, that was a problem for Army. So we'll see if, you know, what adjustments they make from week one to week two to counter that. They didn't have that big of a threat against Lehigh. So we'll see where it goes. At this point in the show, this is where we would drop in the Blue Falcon, edit in Joe with the Blue Falcon. Maybe he'll send me a voicemail and give us one, and we can just add it later. But I'll dive into the AP Top 10, and this will be super, super quick because, like, there's been no movement. They haven't been updated. No one in the previous Top 10 lost, but quick rundown. You've got UGA number one, OSU number two, Oregon number three, Texas number four, and Bama's number five. And I think there may be some shuffling of the deck 6 through 10 based off of performances this weekend. We know for sure that Florida State, well, I don't know. If Florida State comes out and beats the brakes off of Boston College tonight, they may actually retain the 10 spot.
Come on.
You know?
No way.
Sports writers make no sense. Trust me. Fair. Like, That it's possible that it happens. Top 25 losses so far this year. We've got four notable losses this week: Clemson, Texas A&M, and LSU. Real quick, do we think any of these teams are out of the playoff race?
Clemson is out. They looked awful. I mean, they played tough for a half, and then Georgia was like, okay, that was interesting, and proceeded to drop what, 31 points or something. I mean,
yeah,
that was not a competitive game.
No, it was like Georgia was playing with their food, man.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not confident. Like, my other question is like, do we think Dabo's in trouble? I mean, I think Clemson will win maybe 8, probably 10 games is what my gut is telling me. They'll go to a bowl game that'll be respectable ish, but I don't even think they'll win that. But I think Dabo might be in trouble, man. Like, to be completely honest.
So Texas A&M, I thought that they looked – I only watched about half of that game, but I thought A&M looked better than Notre Dame through the first half, give or take. Yeah. I just thought they were playing better defense. So when I woke up the next morning, I was pretty surprised to see that the Irish had pulled it out by 2 scores. You know, I don't know what to do with that. That was always going to be a high-leverage week one game that doesn't necessarily mean anything for the whole season. The LSU game is kind of the same way, especially with the caveat that they lost 3/4 of that team to the NFL, especially on defense. But I think LSU's at this point sort of got something to prove with that defense. Like that defense was actively bad by SEC standards last year. And then now they go out to Southern California and they get beat.
Oh, and yeah,
27 points is not like too many to give up, but still. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, it's like, if you're any other team, like if you were last year's Pac-12 team and you stopped USC from scoring 55 points, you win that game, right? Like,
yeah, absolutely. That's
how it works out. Like, if it, you know, and we know that last year and this year usually don't equate, but given the high powered offense that USC has, if you prevent them from scoring 50 points, you usually win that game. And so I also think, like, yeah, the defense has improved by comparison to last year, but it's like, what's with the offense? You know what I mean? It's like, hey, look, like, 27 points is not a lot. And in the SEC, if you can't score 30, 35 points, it's going to be some tough sledding. So it'll be interesting to see how it all pans out. But
it's week one though, and this is not, it's tough because Georgia doesn't look like they're going to drop a game.
No.
And so, you know, and Tennessee beat I understand that they played Chattanooga, but dude, they were in fifth gear the whole game.
Yeah.
So that's a competitive SEC, and to start off looking a little weak is not the way to start.
Yeah, and I think that's it. Like, the buzzards are start circling, you know.
In week three.
Yeah, like early, if it's not, you know, if it's not happening. But anyway, so we'll dive into, like, which head coach is a coordinator in disguise. Like, I'll run first, and then, or you can go first.
But I will. Sure, why not? Dude, Rice head coach Mike Bloomgren. This dude is in his seventh season, and they never take the next step, and I'm so frustrated. He returned everybody, and he got the hot new QB in the American in EJ Warner, and they got freaking destroyed by Sam Houston State. And, like, Rice's defense isn't terrible, but they the Owls only put up 274 yards on offense, including 47 yards rushing. EJ Warner threw two picks, got sacked three times, plus they punted seven times. They never had the ball. Like, they just got destroyed. They never had the ball. And, you know, Sam Houston State, like, do we really think, are they going to win Conference USA this year? Like, are they that good?
They might. I mean,
maybe,
they were pretty good last year. And again, I think the focus was on Liberty just because it was Liberty. I have no idea why, but, you know, everybody's talking like, oh, Liberty, 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 you know, like, I guess the commercial got in everybody's head. And so they just continued to run with that train of thought. I have no idea. But, I think Sam Houston is decent, you know, but, like, that's pretty sad that they couldn't pull that off.
They just didn't look like a real football team out there. It was like, you know, in the Army game, like, Lehigh kept driving, but they never scored any points. And we're going to talk about why that was tomorrow. And that's, like, what it felt for Rice. It's like, okay, they'd have the ball and they'd make, like, a play. And you think, okay, good, they're going to turn it around. But then they don't turn it around. And you look at the scoreboard and they're down 10 points, 14 points.
Yeah.
And they're just not, it was not competitive. Like, they got the hell beat out of them. It was not a good game. It was really ugly.
And I'm surprised. It's like, one of the things that you got to do is you got to tighten it up, man. You know, like, if you've got a quarterback like EJ Warner, like, you got to put that kid in the position where he can win the game. Cause he will.
How does he look better for Temple than he does for Rice? That's insane. I understand it's week one, but Jesus.
Yeah, like that, and I think that's the statement of the year right there, right? How does EJ Warner look better at Temple than he did at Rice? And well, I got
listen, maybe they get it turned around. I mean, Army plays Rice in 3 weeks, and this is probably karma, so I need to shut up. But, dude, it's crazy. Yeah,
I know. I completely understand. So, for me, of course, I'll always say it. I think Lincoln Riley is one of the great offensive minds in college football. There's no doubt. You'll get no argument from me on that one. As a head coach, I'm not so sure. I think the reason why he's still in the position that he's in is because USC dropped, I think it was like $100 million on him for like a 4 or 5 year deal. And so they're not moving him because the payout would be gross. Right. And yeah. And like, hats off to him for freaking writing a contract that's going to get him paid, whether or not he's in the head coaching seat or not. However, I mean, you know, you look at his record and you're like, wow, man, that's pretty impressive. He's 74-18 overall as a head coach. Not bad. Like, there's a lot of coaches that wish they had that, you know, that level of proficiency as a coach. Where it really gets tricky is the bowl games, right? He's 2-4 in bowl games.
Yeah.
No doubt he can develop quarterbacks. You know, he's Caleb Williams, you know, freaking Kyle, what's his name from the other Oklahoma quarterback that's all over the place? Well, he's a journeyman now. I'll think about it later. But, you know, when you think about it, I think he has the ability to develop quarterbacks. He has the ability to design and execute these super potent offenses and make great in-game adjustments. But as a head coach, if you look at how crappy their defense was last year, like, dude, you got to look at the other side of the ball, because you can't expect to score 100 points a game and win every time.
SC stands are banging on the table right now saying, but Rob, they just held the LSU to 20 points. Come on, man.
Yeah, that's cute. But LSU did not play that well, and then their defense collapsed. You know, like, if you watch that game, it were like, yes, I understand. I hear what you're saying. I got it. But when they get deeper into their schedule, like, it's going to be rough on them, because if you're only scoring 27 points as USC and you're used to this high-powered offense, then when you get deeper into, you know, your Big 12 or your Big 18 now, which is a big, you know, when you get into your Big 18 schedule, it's going to be a little bit more difficult, because there are teams that play a lot better defense than they did in the Pac-12. And so I think the stars and planets aligned for them perfectly for this opening game. So you got a ranked opponent that didn't have a good defense, right, against LSU. And LSU, you know, whether they turn it around or not, they usually do towards the end of the year.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was a perfect storm, particularly for week one. Oh, I get a ranked opponent that I can beat and look good against. But the rest of their, you know, they've got their murderer's row. You got Penn State, Ohio State, and Michigan. I think that they all have to play those three teams this year. Like, good luck with that. You know,
for sure.
I don't think they're going to make it out of their conference schedule unscathed. Anyway, on to you for the next read.
Friends, this show is sponsored by Craig Oxane, Vice President of Residential Lending for New American Funding in Chicago. Craig is a member of the West Point Class of 1994, licensed to lend in all 50 states, but based out of Chicago. He is one of the most successful VA lenders in the country. Why? Because he offers super competitive rates, going to give you the best deal he possibly can, because he offers excellent customer service, and because he doesn't charge lending fees for veterans, which is a huge savings, like $1,300. Get that money. Like $1,300 is a lot of money. The mortgage processing is confusing, right? Interest rates move all over the place. You're trying to figure out how to navigate all this paperwork that you got to deal with. And you want to deal with somebody who actually cares about you, who's a person and not like some random big box bank or mindless website. And by the way, this is how the West Point Network functions, right? Craig is helping us stay in business here at Ask for Football, and we're helping you get the best deal on a mortgage that we possibly can by introducing you to the man that you need to meet. So, Craig Oxane, Vice President of Residential Lending at New American Funding. Check him out. Link's on our website. You can Google it, but go to askforfootball.com, click the little business card, fill out a little questionnaire. You'll be talking to Craig in a couple of hours.
Thanks, Daniel. So we're going to move on to the games of the week. We are not going to be able to do any picks right now because none of the sites that we use have been updated because of
they got some lines out there.
I didn't really look. I normally use Action Sports. That's not okay. A plug for them unless they want to become a sponsor. But I usually use them and they don't have anything updated. But we'll still run down the high points of the schedule and then look for our weekly locks for sure on Thursday. But right now, we've got football on Friday again, which is nice. No real heavy hitters on that one unless you like Duke and Northwestern. That's usually a better basketball game than it is a football game. Moving on to Saturday. Saturday, you got number 4 Texas at number 9 Michigan. So you've got the Longhorns at the Big House. That should be an interesting game to see. I think Texas is hot right now. Michigan played a not very competitive team. We'll see who made the better adjustments. And sometimes playing better competition actually helps you get into that week 2 schedule a little bit better. You've got Army versus Florida Atlantic. I think that's going to be an interesting game because Florida Atlantic could not really move the ball through the air. They have it's basically a running team versus running quarterback. See which one breaks first. Moving on, you've got Georgia Tech and Syracuse. I think Georgia Tech is now the darlings of the ACC. So I think everybody's going to be looking to see them do well. Syracuse again, they've got new starting quarterback,
new coach
that came, and a new coach. So we'll see how they're able to recover in that one. That one's going to be kicking at noon on the ACC network. You got Tennessee Tech and Georgia. I don't even know why they play these cupcake games. Go ahead and cut Tennessee Tech the check and move on to the next week. You got Temple at Navy again. That's their conference opener for the American Athletic Conference. You've got Iowa State and Iowa, like the Cy-Hawk trophy. Right. And week 2, that's kind of a
big game. It's always early in the season. That's a big game.
Yeah. It's kind of a disservice to a rivalry, unfortunately, to have it this early in the season. But I mean, that's going to be a pretty pivotal game. You got Baylor and number 12 Utah kicking at 3:30 on Fox. You've got NIU and Notre Dame. And really, there's, like I said, not a lot of high hitting games. UTSA and Texas State, that one's coming out. Future Army opponent, that will be on ESPNU. Florida A&M and against Miami. Like, if Miami's for real, they're going to score like 1,000 points on Florida A&M. Sorry, Florida A&M, but Miami's got something to prove this season. And after literally going into the swamp and breaking a 34 season record of Florida winning home openers at home, they put the hurting on Florida. So is that a testament to Miami, or is it show how bad Florida is? It maybe is a little bit of both, but they're trying to run the table on the rest of the season. You got Kansas at Illinois, kicking at 7 on FS1. USF against Alabama, that's 7 on ESPN. Texas Southern and Rice, you got a future Army future opponent kicking at 7 p.m. on ESPN Plus. San Jose State and Air Force. You get Ken Niumatalolo, guy with a lot of experience coaching against Air Force, going against Air Force. It'll be interesting to see if Coach Calhoun shakes his hand at the end of the game, because that usually is typically the indicator of how well or how poorly that Service Academy game went with them. Again, this one's right in the backyard. You got Tennessee at NC State. That's playing in Charlotte.
That's a good one.
Yeah, that's going to be a good game. They'll be at the home of the Duke's Mayo Bowl. And for those,
can I interrupt you for a second and ask what the local radio stations are saying about that one, about the old Wolfpack?
Yeah, they're still hyping him up, man. Even after the, oh, he just had a bad game. Like, no, they had a horrible game. Like, they're lucky to get out of there. You know, it's like, we'll see. I think Tennessee may be the first Nick on the NC State schedule this year, because Tennessee's got something to prove.
Yeah.
Like, they've got a quarterback whose name I cannot pronounce, and that dude is legit.
He looks good. He looks real good.
Yeah. They certainly have their work cut out for him. And then, you know, going down the rest of the slate, you know, there's some matchups, but nothing really of interest.
App State at Clemson, 8 p.m. So I guess we see how far Clemson has fallen. Not that App State is a bad team. That's exactly my point. They're not a bad team.
Yeah, that could be a potential upset alert right there. I don't know if I'm going to hang my shingle on it just yet. But, hey, you know what? I'm going to call a blind cover for App State on this. I don't even know what the stats are, but I'll say App State's going to cover against Clemson.
Weekly locks.
And let's go into weekly locks. Dan, if you have anything, go ahead.
I definitely do. That's okay. I will carry the team, Rob. No problem. So I went 1-1 and to be determined this week, having picked Boston College at FSU over 48.5. So obviously that kicks in about half an hour, and they got to go over 48.5. And you guys can let me know whether I was right or wrong. Already talked about Rice. Oh my God, did they get blown out? They went in as 10-point favorites and just got the dog beat out of them. James Madison, of course, covered easily. And so this week I was really tempted to take Army at FAU under 44.5. I was also really, really tempted to take San Jose State plus 6.5 at Air Force. I'm telling you, the Zoomies did not look good, but I will take Temple at Navy under 45.5. I will also take Charlotte at UNC minus 21.5. I think that the Tar Heels, I don't believe in Charlotte at all. And I do believe in the Tar Heels, at least more than that. So, and then finally, Michigan State at Maryland minus 7.5. Dude, Maryland looked good. Whereas Sparty, like, they tried to give that game away multiple times. Like, that quarterback that they have is not good. I forget what his name is. Aiden something. He threw two god awful picks to FAU and kept that game much, much closer than it needed to be. Holy smokes. Finished under 50% passing for the day. Like, that dude is not good.
Yeah, so I'm gonna dive in and let's see. So on the blind, I just looked it up. So it's 16.5. I'm gonna take freaking App State to cover 16.5 at Clemson.
Okay.
And then I think I will, you know, roll the dice and take the over of 44 on Texas and Michigan, because I think that one's going to be a shootout.
Oh, yeah. I think that's a good pick for sure.
So those are my two picks. I went 1-1 this past week. Not complaining. I figured, you know, Georgia was going to roll Clemson. I just didn't know how bad. I'm glad. I think Georgia is on a mission this season. I think Kirby is pissed off that he didn't get the nod. I mean, like, nobody goes into a bowl game where everybody sits and you don't sit all your starters, because like Georgia came out there on a tear, you know.
Yeah.
And so I think that was like insult to injury for Florida State, but then we see how poorly they came out on the season. I think if they would have played in that game and actually tried to play, they would have had a better mentality. But you can't take that much time off and expect success. So we do have an update for you, which is unfortunate, but it sounds like our picks league is going to get modified for the 2024 season.
I'm so annoyed. So Bandwagon Sports looks like it's no longer supported, which is very unfortunate. Actually spent this, we're now really inside baseball, but I spent half an hour today texting back and forth with Craig Oxane about building an Astro Football branded picks, college football picks league.
Yeah.
So he's actually going to run point on that, and we'll see if that actually occurs. It would be amazing if it does. But yeah, so I think for members of the Firstie Club, we are going to go back to the manual picks league, and that's just not going to be open to everybody because there's just no way, unfortunately.
Yeah. Yeah. And sorry, these things happen. It's like the woes of small business, I guess.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, inflation is real, folks. So like your bootstrap side project may actually keep you from, you know, may have to go the way of the dodo because something else is going on. But anyway, hey, we're a little bit shorter this week, unfortunately, because we just didn't have as many guests as we thought we would. But we try and give you the best action that we can. Again, like Dano and I are doing pretty well. We'll get Joe's picks this week as well. Add them to the weekly locks. And we're at the end of this week's show. So make sure you follow Ask for Football on the socials. And if you like the content, want to support our show, subscribe to our YouTube channel and sign up for Patreon. You can also find the video version of the College Football Roundtable on the Veteran Trash Talk Network. And they have a whole slew of shows that you should check out because they have a bunch of different topic areas that they cover. But the bottom line is, you know, veterans helping veterans, they're focused in on making sure that we stop soldier suicide. Like that's the thrust of their mission and that's where their money goes. So if you're interested in supporting, either support soldier suicide or just doggone it, go buy a t-shirt from Veteran Trash Talk because a portion of the proceeds go to stop soldier suicide. So that's always a good thing. Anyway, I'm your host, Rob, calling to you out of Fayetteville, North Carolina. We got Nano Ikebesa out of Coastal Connecticut. Joe texted me, but I'm not going to say where he is. We will punish him later. And we will talk to you guys next week. This has been the Ask for Football College Football Roundtable, or for those of you that are in the know, Ring Knocker Radio. And we will talk to you guys next week.
Beat FAU.
Beat them.
Thanks for listening to the Ask for Football College Football Roundtable. Join the AFF team for more hot takes and college football analysis. You can sign up for our mailing list at askforfootball.com/subscribe. Or you can follow us on all social media platforms at Ask for Football. And as always, beat Navy.